godly ministers and members. 1 Timothy 4. At the close of last week's lesson, we noted Paul made one of the most profound and far-reaching statements regarding the life and ministry of Christ found in any literature. 1 Timothy 3:16, one of the several important 3:16s. In view of the intensifying apostasy caused by false teachers, and we see enough of them among the Adventist church members today, the only safeguard was a total reliance on Jesus and a study and application of His Word to the personal life. Part number one. Paul foretold a departure from the faith. 1 Timothy 4:1. Paul here begins a new line of reasoning with the word now. He warned that the Spirit expressly, specifically, distinctly, said that in the latter times, no definite article, certain persons will rebel against, desert, abandon, fall away from the faith, because they continuously, as William emphasizes, give their attention to subversive, deceiving, misleading teachings. This bent of mind springs from what they have read and think. Unfortunately, this prediction has been true of every age of the church. But from several other scriptures, the truth of the apostles' expression, latter days, focuses on the time just prior to the second coming of Christ and the end of the great controversy. See 2 Thessalonians 2, 3-10. On these final deceptions, the Spirit of prophecy has given us a vivid picture. Great Controversy 6:24. Fearful sights of a supernatural character will soon be revealed in the heavens, in token of the power of the miracle-working demons. Spirits of devils will go forth to the kings of the earth, whole world, preparation for Armageddon, to fasten them in a deception, urge them to unite with Satan in the last struggle against the government of heaven. The members of Timothy's church must have recalled that in his letter to them, Ephesians 6:11-13, Paul had expressed that Christian warfare is not merely against flesh and blood, but against evil spirits in high places. As we near the end of time, Ellen White reveals, falsehood will be so mingled with truth that only those who have the guidance of the Holy Spirit will be able to distinguish truth from error. Those who are guided by the Word will discern with certainty between falsehood, error, sin, and righteousness. Bible Commentary, Volume 7, 907. Mingled with error, these truths are extremely deceptive. Sometimes there can be 99% truth. We need the Holy Spirit's eye salve. We need to pray. We need to become familiar with the specifics of the Bible in order to detect the 1% corrosive, destructive error. Part number two. Demons and their doctrines, 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2. Paul gives a clear picture of how and why this apostasy came about, and will come about for us. Williams calls attention to the force of the apostles' verb. These persons continually give their attention to deceptive spirits. Have you ever encountered someone who is habitually carping and questioning and critical? Every statement of the Bible, every teaching of the church, he takes delight in trying to ferret out some doubt, some idea he thinks contains error. He changes the nuance of meaning in a doctrine. Paul then continued, these people are habitually speaking lies in hypocrisy. They're playing games. Taylor puts it vividly, these teachers will tell lies with a straight face. When confronted with a clear, "Thus saith the Lord," they wriggle and waffle around it, pious tones and hypocritical looks. Unfortunately, when once a person has deliberately decided on an erroneous interpretation of the Bible passage to save face, or for whatever reason, he is led on to wrong conduct and finally makes shipwreck of his faith. And his conscience becomes seared, scarred, insensitive, as with a hot iron. Some of these false teachers still forbid marriage, perhaps because they think the second coming of Christ is too near. We have read through the decades of those who advised young couples, "Don't have children. Christ is coming before they will grow up." Forbidding to marry. God nowhere forbids to marry. They demand abstention from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who know and believe the truth. What are these foods that God created to be received with those who believe his Bible? Fruits, grains, nuts, vegetables. These constituted the original diet. But these false teachers are very particular regarding the diet that should be eaten. They forbid the things that God created to be received with thanksgiving. Some take Paul's statements and misread it to mean that God created everything to be eaten. And should someone advocate a vegetarian diet, he is the false teacher. But God never created the lobster or the pig or even the cow to be eaten. These flesh meats were permitted to shorten the long-lived lives of those who lived after the flood. So when you hear someone slandering vegetarians, you may know that he belongs to this false teacher group of last-day apostates. After Paul had mentioned food which had been created to be eaten, he continued with the expression, "for every," King James Version, "creature." Ktisma, rendered creature in most translations. The Greek lexicon, however, gives its first meaning as anything created. Anything created. And this emphasizes what he has already stated. His word meats is bromaton, food, in general, which should be received with thanksgiving to God. Paul's statement has nothing to do with meat eating. Everything to do with those false teachers who prohibit or ridicule foods which the Creator originally provided, along with marriage. These false teachers will be making an attack against the earliest recommendations of God found in Genesis: marriage, diet, in the last days, and calling in question the validity of the opening chapters of Genesis. Part number 3, Godly Ministers and the People. 1 Timothy 4, 6 and 7. Paul now gives the most important advice possible to all who have to meet false teachings of every stripe. Williams again calls attention to the present continuous of Paul's verb. If you will continue to put these things before the brethren. He does not allow any modification or accommodation to the heretics. You will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, continually feeding, nurturing your own soul on the truths of the faith, not physical bread only, but on every word of God, and the fine, right, sound teachings by which you have been faithfully guided in your own life. Notice his emphasis, continually keeping before the members and in his own life, the teachings of the Word of God. There are two vital points in this advice. Timothy and every teacher, whoever he might be, must first regulate his own life consistently and habitually by the Bible. He must then continually make it his constant practice to keep these principles before his congregation, in season and out of season. Paul said nothing about attacking false doctrine, but about keeping the truth and the true teachings of the Bible before the people. Ignore the false teachers, stress the true teaching. Ministers of God should be of good repute, Ellen White says in Testimonies, Volume 4, page 407, capable of discreetly managing an interest after they have aroused it. We stand in great need of competent men who will bring honor instead of disgrace upon the cause which they represent. Ministers should be examined, especially to see if they have an intelligent understanding of the truth for this time, so they can give a connected discourse upon the prophecies or upon practical subjects. If they cannot clearly present Bible subjects, they need to be hearers and learners still. They should earnestly and prayerfully search the Scriptures and become conversant with them in order to be teachers of the Bible truth to others. And these things should be carefully and prayerfully considered before men are hurried into the field of labor. Paul then recommended to Timothy that the minister should make it a habit, Williams again, continually, of avoiding those stupid, godless fictions, Phillips, quite vigorous words, or irreverent myths or legends, by always training yourself to godliness, godlikeness. Notice here, continually, habitually avoid, and continually, habitually training yourself on the right. Avoid the stupid, godless fictions. Now, today we might say speculations. There are tremendous amounts of speculations. I think in the field of ethics, without the Bible, what are the norms? And men go on speculating and philosophizing and theorizing. What they are doing is actually pooling their own ignorance. Everything should come to a thus saith the Lord. We should think through the problem till it becomes black or white. If there are still gray areas, it needs very careful prayer and biblical teaching and an infilling of the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Part number 4, spiritual exercises superior to physical, 1 Timothy 4, 8-11. Having recommended to Timothy to exercise himself in religious matters, Paul warned that physical exercise profited only for a little while, margin. By exercising oneself in godliness, profitable for eternity. The elders of the Ephesian church were all probably older than Timothy, and so Paul gave him advice not to do or say anything which might lead to his ministry being despised because of his youthful attitudes. The apostle then outlined the spiritual discipline or exercise that Timothy must practice. Give attendance, devote yourself to reading publicly the Scriptures, exhorting, preaching, doctrine, teaching, cultivate good study habits. Summary. Ellen White says in Bible Commentary 7:915, there are many youth who move from impulse rather than from judgment. Timothy inquired at every step, is this the way of the Lord? He had no special brilliant talents, but he consecrated all his ability to the service of God. The Lord found in him a mind that he could mold and fashion. God will use the youth today as he used Timothy if they will submit to his guidance.